So we're doing about the heroes of the Bible, aren't we? The faith heroes, you know, the cloud of witnesses. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." In Romans 4:20, it says, tells us faith glorifies God. Galatians 2:20 says, we live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, we can resist Satan by faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, faith sustains us to fight the good fight. 1 John 5:4 says, we can overcome the world by faith. Faith releases hope, joy, and peace in our lives. Faith means trusting God of hope. The origin of hope is the God of hope. The reason for hope is Jesus. The source of hope in you is the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that the God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Alice spoke about Noah, and how he had faith in God. And, you know, how Noah was building the ark. But the Bible portrays it as though he was doing it on his own. But Noah had a family. He had three sons. He had a wife. He had three daughter-in-laws. Well, they surely must have been helping him, wasn't it? There must have been a family coalition, you know, to doing it again. But there would have been obstacles. His wife was telling him, you care more about the ark than you do about your family. His son shouting, are we done yet? His daughter-in-law's getting grief from the families, saying, no, you don't want to do anything to do with them Noahs. They're weird. We don't want anything to do with them at all. But through it all, it worked, isn't it? And as a family, they did it together. Yeah. Today, we're talking to Noah about a slave girl who lost everything. She lost a mum, a dad, a family. Where she lived, she was taken away from it. And this is a story of Naam's slave girl. He teaches us important lessons about how we should treat those in the world. Micah says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And as the rangers would say in Matthew 12:7, do to others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and of the prophets. The young girl saw Naam not as an enemy, but as someone to serve and wanted to help. This is how we should look at people, because God desires all people to eventually to be in his family. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Too often we focus on ourselves and we see evil and ignorance of the world. We can treat people in the world with hostility because that is what we see and how we are treated. We have to remember the potential they have to be in God's family. I am thankful that God and his family saw the potential in me. How about yourselves? Are you thankful as well that God saw the potential in you? 2 Kings 5:2, this is where the story. At this time, our Armenian raiders had invaded the land of Israel. And among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. No, she spoke 19 words that changed a man's life, that changed a man's family's life. Just 19 words. You know, it's a side note, when we think about slavery, we think it's gone. There's no slavery at all now. But there's over 40 million people are estimated to be trapped in slavery in the world. 1 in 4 of them are children. Almost 3/4, 71%, are women and children. The government of this country estimates there's 10,000, but experts say there's more than 130,000 people in the UK are in modern slavery. We think we don't use slavery. But how many of you have been to a car wash where slavery has been used, you know, where people have been forced to work there? In fruit pickers, picking the fruit, you know, building trade, you know, they get a gang of, like, they make them into slaves, and they just get the board and the feed them fed, but they have to work long hours and that, you know, because that's how they get the cheap prices. And you know, but we, you know, we don't think as that. We're thinking it's okay, like, but when we think, you know, how people are being treated, you know, we have to speak out, don't we? Avoid the car washes, because if you think about it, you're paying £5 for a car wash, and the minimum wage is £9.60. They've got to buy all the soap and everything. It doesn't add up, does it? But people are forced into that, and we have to step up, you know, speak out, don't we? This girl, about this girl, we're using my imagination then, okay? She was living in a happy Jewish family, wasn't she? And having a loving mum and dad. She had a Jewish parents, so she would have been taught, you know, the Torah, and she was taught God's word, wasn't she? She would have known about the prophets. She would have known about Moses. She'd have heard the stories of Moses, Abraham, Joseph, and all through her life. You know, she'd been taught all these. And she would have known, like, that with Joseph, how he was sold into slavery, wasn't he, by his brothers. And how God used Joseph to do mighty things, you know, with the droughts, and how he brought back his family, didn't he? And she might have thought to herself, oh, right, God's put me into this position now. I'm going to do the same. You know, I'll let God use me. She would have known about Elijah as well. You know, she'd have heard the stories of how his healings and his miracles that he was, you know, doing in God. And God had placed her into a place where she was going to be used. We too have been placed by God. It's not by coincidence or accident that we've been where we live. God has used putting us in a place where we live for our neighbours, isn't it? Where we can speak to our neighbours. In our workplaces, where we can lead our work colleagues, where we can talk about Jesus, isn't it? Wherever we are. See, we can give that touch of Jesus, can't we? See, the touch of God, we know, because we know, like she did, she knew a man who could, the prophet Elijah, who knew God. We know a man, and that's Jesus, isn't it? And you can always laugh to yourselves when they say sarcastically, who did he think he is, God? And you say, yes, I am. He's the God shepherd. He's the bread of life, the door, the resurrection and the life, the vine, the way and the truth and the life, the light of the world. You know, we've been put into a situation with God. We were like, we have the directions, don't we? We can give directions to people. Like this Jewish girl was going to give directions to Naaman. Okay? And we're going to have another history lesson now. Years ago, before sat-navs, we used to use it. As a lorry driver, we used A to Z. And we used to speak to and ask somebody for directions. We used to go into services, quick look at where we was going, memorise it, and then put it back, and then you get to near where your destination. And if you found a postman or a post office, you know, you was in luck, because they tended to know where they were. But then sometimes you get one postman, oh, it's my first day here, I've never done this route before, so you didn't know. And you became lost, and you come to a T-junction, you didn't know whether to go left or right. You know, and you'd have the sarcastic one who give you the wrong directions completely. You're always told you can't miss it, but it was always an inconsistent, you know, a building you would never think of, but it was that of the building. You always told, but and then we get sat navs now, don't we? And like you think you know where you're going, so you don't put the sat nav on, and then you go and drive past your junction what you wanted because it's not told you to come off at that junction because you've turned it off. You know, and we rely on the sat navs, and with the truck one, it's supposed to be a truck one. It does send you down some roads that you're not supposed to be going down, but it can mislead you. But we've become like the postman, haven't we? You know, when you want to directions, but he's bringing the news into you, the letters. But we're like the postman. We have, you know, when they look at us, we think, oh, yeah, I know I can get directions from him. Oh, this building's the post office. You know, if you want directions, you know you can come in because they know all the addresses, don't they, around here. So we know that when you come in here, you know, we have the direction. We're leading to Jesus, aren't we? We've become the voice of the sat-nav. God is the one who's the satnav, who's leading us, who's showing us the way to go. But it's through our voice that we're speaking out, and, you know, to which way to go. You know, Jesus' way, haven't we? And we can do it. But we can do it. How do we do it? How do we speak, though? Do we speak sternly? Do we speak forcefully? Or do we speak with compassion, humbly? I think if we speak compassion and humbly, we'll draw more people in than being stern and cross and angry. But that's how we... So we're now the satnav's voice now. So, and the postman. So you've got new jobs now. But we can talk about the weather, can't we? Or how hot it is, how cold it is. We can talk to the weather to strangers, can't we? Well, so easily, it just comes naturally, doesn't it? About politics, you know, which way you go, which politician you follow or whatever. And sports, definitely sports. We can all talk about sports, which team we follow. We can have such a passion about the sports. But then when it comes to about talking about Jesus, we seem to shy away, don't we? We seem to have that fear, don't we? Some let Satan put fear in us to talk about Jesus. You know, doing communion. People are scared of doing communion. But we're amongst friends, aren't we? Amongst family. It doesn't matter. You're going to speak out, isn't it? You never know if that message that God's given you to speak out in, even in communion or anywhere. You know, somebody might need that message. You might need that word in their hearts, even here. You know, but outside, we seem to struggle to talk about Jesus, don't we? We have to have faith that God's going to give us the words to speak. It's not my words now, it's God's words. I hope it, I pray it is. I don't want to be speaking on my behalf. I want you to hear God's word, not my word. So you never know, God could be using you because somebody's in need and you need to speak, have the boldness. You know, it says a widow spoke to Abraham. And he invited her, you know, for prayer. And then to pray for him and invite him to the church. And it's not in this parable. It was in Tesco's. The widow's in front of us. Dory. As many people have invited people to come to church. They may not have come, but we shouldn't be discouraged by that. It's their choice, isn't it? See, going back to the slave girl... young girl, she didn't accept her situation in bitterness. She could quite easily have been angry that this man had killed her father, her mother, even their brothers and sisters, we don't know. But she wasn't angry, was she? She retained her faith in God, and she acted on her faith. She wished her master would experience God's healing peace. It took courage, didn't it? Esther couldn't go to the king, her husband. You know, she had to have an audience, didn't she? She had to have permission to go and speak to him. She couldn't just go walk in one day and say, "Do you really love me? Do you really love me? Well, if you really love me, you won't attack my people, will you? Because you really love me, don't you?" She couldn't do that. She had to go in as a servant, didn't she? She was like, even though she was the queen, she still had to go in as a, like anybody else. The king was the king, you know. But she spoke out, didn't she? She spoke out to Naaman. A mighty warrior who God was helping him to gain victory, wasn't he? Yet he had one thing, he had leprosy, wasn't he? But she took the opportunity and she took it with faith, with lovingness that she spoke out. And she spoke to his wife, who then spoke to Naaman, and then Naaman spoke to the king. And then the king sent a letter off to the king of Israel, and then Elijah then found out about it. Well, God told him. But he's gone through the line, hasn't he? How often do we allow an opportunity to serve God go by? Because we're afraid and shy to speak out? Think the task is too big or too small? Nothing's too big or small for God. How often do we look away from someone who's struggling because we think they deserve it? How often do we refuse to share God's love and mercy because someone disagrees with us? It's so easy to think we're justified by doing that. But that's not the God's way, is it? Jesus didn't come down here to show. He came down to serve and to love, didn't he? And to heal and he's healed us, hasn't he? Matthew 5 says, in Matthew 5 it says, you have heard the law that says, you love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We can struggle with that, with being perfect. We think we're not perfect. But in God, we are perfect. If Jesus is living in us, if the Holy Spirit is in us, we're perfect. It's just when we stray away, when we step out of the perfectness. You know, we go one way, we can step out. But God is always there ready for us to step back into being perfect, you know. Because this young slave girl spoke with love and courage, a man's heart was changed. A family became a family of God. If it wasn't for the girl, Naaman wouldn't have stood before Elijah and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. He came to Elijah asking for a cure for leprosy. Spiritually speaking, leprosy represents sin and how it eats away at our lives. See, when he looked at Naaman, he thought he was rich and powerful. When he came to Israel with the offerings for Elijah, he had more wealth than Israel, all of Israel. That's how, you know, how powerful and rich he was. And we look at people thinking that they're doing well. They've got a nice house, they've got a nice car, it looks like a loving family, and you know, they go on holidays all the time, and you're thinking, yeah, they're okay. But there's sin in there. That sin's on them that we can't see. But God knows that there's sin on them. And Naaman was like the same, wasn't he? God was using him in battle, but he still worshipped false gods, didn't he? But he still had that sin. But this slave girl led him, as we do, we lead to Christ, don't we? For salvation, to be cleansed of our sins. And this is what this girl was doing. The leper was separated from an outcast and forced to live alone. Sin always separates us from God. Yeah? Only Jesus and his blood can cleanse and make us whole again. Most of it in the story, it's the servants who lead Naaman. It was a servant girl who told about Elijah who led to the God of Israel. But it was a servant who told Naaman to get into the water. Come on, stop fooling around, get in. You know, you're here now, go in. And it's too bravery, isn't it? To tell, because Naaman was angry and confused because Elijah didn't even come out of the house and to greet him. Elijah told him to go into this dirty water. You know, why couldn't he go home to the clean water? And he was getting angry with himself. He's getting frustrated. He'd gone all that way, hadn't he? And he told the king that Elijah could, you know, heal him. And there he was, stood at the edge of the Jordan River, you know, cursing and, you know, feeling sorry for himself. And yet a servant spoke out and said, come on. How many times have we seen people getting angry with God and thinking, no, there is no God. Well, if there's a God, why is there so many children dying? Why is there this? Why is there that? You know, they get frustrated and angry. But we can stand there and say, agree with them. Or we can say, oh yeah, fair enough, it's not for you. But we have to stand there and say, no, give it a go. Try it. You know, God is there for you. God has done this. God has done that. These wonderful things. It's man's sin that's keeping us away from God. It's your sins that are keeping you away from that Jordan River. Get in. And he did. And he's glad he did, isn't he? How many of us have refused to know to come to church or refused to believe in God? And then when we do, we're thinking, oh, well, I didn't do that sooner. Why have I left it so long? You know, the joy of knowing Christ in you. You know, we can argue all we want, but when we do come to Christ, it's such a joy, isn't it? And it's because people have spoken out and spoken and been the postman, been the post office, been the sat nav for us. And they led people to Christ, haven't they? And that's what we're doing. That's what we're supposed, what we're led to do, and to preach the gospel to all the world. It's the good news that Jesus Christ died for us and he was risen on the third day. Jesus loves us so much that one touch from him restores us back to life. His touch is more powerful than any sin or the effects caused by sin. It is all cleansed and wiped away when we accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus is willing and able to make us whole again from the results of sin and to restore us back to God. That's the good news, isn't it? We're told the good news in Matthew 28:18-20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When we think we're low and God has forgotten us, God is always there. Jesus is always there for you. The Holy Spirit is always there in you and always there if we accept him to be in our lives. And he gives us the words to speak. He's there. He gives us the encouragement. He gives us the boldness to speak out and not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Naaman was the only leper to be cured in the Old Testament. And he wasn't even a man of God. He wasn't even an Israelite. He wasn't Jewish. He was a pagan. But God healed him, didn't he? It was a widow. She was a pagan, but it was a widow who helped Elijah. When the seven lepers came to Jesus for asking for healing, it was one leper that came back, and he was a Samaritan. He was a pagan, or the people who the Jewish didn't like. God is healing when you ask out, isn't he? Even if you're not a Christian, he's asking, if you ask for healing, he's there for you, isn't he? And when you get that healing, you want to know him more, don't you? And you want to become part of him, don't you? It's through Jesus' healings when he was here on earth. It was through his healings that people saw God, didn't they? They saw the miracles, and only God could do these miracles. But God can use us to perform these miracles. He said we do greater things than these, but he's done. And we're here. It's just we have to have the courage to step out and to speak, to be boldness. This sermon was going to take me half an hour. It's only 15 minutes. Sorry. So I'm going to be padding along, I'm afraid. Sorry. See, I didn't think I'd have time to say this verse, because when we speak of Jesus, a lot of people think we're being foolish, don't we? It's just foolishness. But in 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 24, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. We are being saved, known, it is the very power of God. As the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers and the scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world will never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolishness preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. How many times, like my work colleague who believes in evolution, when you speak about God, it's just foolishness to him. Some enzymes or something, and water came down and it changed the formation of these enzymes. It was the beginning of life. because we talk about trees and different enzymes, but it was all a weed was the same as a flower, and it was going on that. And you've heard about how the Big Bang Theory has now changed. Now it's the asteroids all banging together, and it made the Earth, and then over billions of years, and it were like a volcano, and then it cooled down, and then we got this and we got that over billions of years. And to us, that's foolishness, isn't it? Yeah. But to them, to those who don't believe, who believe in this evolution, what we speak is foolishness to them. It's as much as foolishness to them, isn't it? But it's only the Holy Spirit that'll convict you, isn't it? I thought it was foolish to believe in Jesus. I didn't think it was real. It was like Christmas, it was Easter, there were just the holidays. You know, you just go around in life, just this is your lot, isn't it? You know, but when God convicts you, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, you can see this book come into life, don't you? It's not a book anymore, is it not? It's a living word to you now, isn't it? And that's how it comes out to you, isn't it? Right. And that's how we convict people. But a lot, it says, many will go down the wide path, won't they? They'll miss the narrow gate, they'll miss the narrow path, and many will go. Only a few will come through the narrow gate to salvation, won't they? But it's only a few, but we mustn't be downtrodden, mustn't we? We mustn't be downhearted, thinking that, you know, because they're not, we've spoke the word, why they're not being saved. It's only when the Holy Spirit convicts you, isn't it? And that's how we would still have to live our lives, you know, as Jesus, don't we? We have to be there, ready. We have to be, if I came to you on Sunday morning and said, right, can you do communion? I'd say, yeah, okay, no problem. Because we never know when Jesus will put you into a situation like Doreen when she was in Tesco's, and she talked about God there and then, didn't she? She didn't need to get her phone, iPhone. All right, what passage shall I use? You know, she didn't need to, get her Bible out and think, right, which passage? She just spoke, didn't she? She just spoke about God. That's all we'd have to do, isn't it? You might not have to speak a passage, but you're speaking about Jesus, aren't you? You're admitting that you are a Christian. You're admitting that you love Jesus. And that love will shine through, won't it? It breaks it barriers down, won't it? And that's what we are here to do. That's what God's plan is into us. And we all want to please God, don't we? And by faith, we please God, don't we? And by believing, we're pleasing God. You know, we think we're the minority. Minority. And we have, in a sense. But it's the minority that's going to break through, isn't it? The LGBTQ, whatever they're called, they think they're the minority. They think they're downtrodden, they think the word. But as a Christian, we're being downtrodden, aren't we? We have to what the government tells us to do, we have to supposed to apply by it. But if it's not in the word, then we have to walk away, don't we? We have to not do what the government tells us if it's not by the word. That's how we're living, isn't it? That's how we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be downtrodden, you know, you're a phobic of whatever. You know, you're going to be... Because phobic is a fear, isn't it? So they're going to fear us. Or as we fear the Lord, but it's a loving fear, isn't it? When they fear us, and they just close their ears, don't they? They close their eyes into what you're trying to tell them. But then there's that spark moment, isn't there? There's that light bulb moment where the Holy Spirit goes boom, and then into red, and you think, yeah. And they can see by your testimonies, when we're giving out testimonies, of how our lives have been changed. You know, from a drunk to a happy-go Christian, if you want, and for someone who was in depression to come out of that depression. But it's only through God that's brought me out of depression, out of gambling, you know, not having to live thinking where the next pound's going to come from. But God is going to be our provider, isn't it? With the healing, the diseases, the healing, it's going to come from God, isn't it? It's only through healings in God that we're going to break through, isn't it? How we can reach out to those that are going past this morning. Our neighbours, you know, we're not always quarrelling with each other or fighting and backbiting each other, but we're living in loving harmony. With our neighbours, they don't hear us shouting and cursing, you know, getting drunk, you know, falling over the gate and whatever. It's just normal, that. But when you're coming in on a Sunday morning dressed up, you know, I wonder where they're going. As long as they don't think you're a Jehovah's Witness. And that's what, you know, we all have to see with a suit and a the baggies and that, the Jehovah's Witnesses. But we're out there to celebrate God, and people know, and they can see, people can see changes in your life. You know, when you've come from the darkness into the light, they can see you. You might not think it. You might think you're insignificant, or you're too fragile to do it, but God is your strength, isn't he? This young girl was in between two mighty men, wasn't she? Naaman and Elijah. Yeah, she was bold enough to stand out. We're looking at names, you know, we're thinking of Moses or Abraham or Peter, Paul. We're looking at all them and thinking, wow, I wish I was like them. But then Peter and Paul, Moses and that, might thinking, I wish I was like you. You know, because of your boldness when you stood out. Because Moses was said he was stuttering and he couldn't do it. But God got him Aaron to speak for him, didn't he? But he still, over the time, he still bolder, didn't he? He was the one who interceded for the Israelites because of the walking away. But he was the one who got on his knees and prayed for him. We might have to be the ones who have to get on our knees and pray for us. We might have to be the ones who intercede for us. But we might not know it. You might do it at home when you're interceding, when you're praying for us at home. And people are not seeing that. But don't be discouraged, because God is still working in you, isn't he? We don't want to be the showman. We don't want to be, look at me, what I'm doing. We want to be hidden away. A showman. We want to let God show, be the showman. We want to let Jesus to be the showman in our lives somewhere. Brian, we're finished. Lord, I just thank you that you have broken the barriers that we had. You've taken away our sins by your blood. You've washed us clean and cleaned us, Lord, and cleansed us. You've given us a new life. You've given us a new meaning, a new purpose. And we're here to love you and to please you. We thank you that you've been looking after us, Lord, that you've given us our needs and you've helped us in everything that we do. I thank you that we are in our jobs. I thank you that wherever you've put us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you use us mightily, Lord, and that we accept your challenge, Lord. We accept that we're going to speak your name wherever we are, because it is a challenge. But we know that you behind us, we can overcome everything. You are our overcomer. You are the power in us, Lord. We want to shine your light around this world, Lord. We want to see revival. We want to see revival in this world, in this town. Wherever we are, we want to see revival, Lord. Even in this church, Lord, we want to see revival. We want to see our first youth back in this, Lord. We want to see us coming here with a joy and a new song in our hearts. We want our hearts to be beating. We want our hearts to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be able to speak to those who are lost, to speak to those who are frightened, to those who have diseases or whatever it is they have, Lord. But we know we are the voice. We are going to be your voice, Lord, in this world. We want to speak to those who are in need, and to your words are going to be their healing, their loving. In Jesus' name, amen.